you guys out there in the third dimension with your smart devices, you can really exercise your thumbs on this show. Well, good morning from Australia. I'm Gary. This is my wife, Gloria.
Hello.
And Gloria is about 1,000 kilometres south of me at the moment. That's about 600 miles, to talk in US terminology. And on our screen, we've got Manuel Gentle over there in Colorado Springs and John Tripp in North Carolina. Emmanuel, would you like to introduce yourself to the people out there in the third dimension? That's you guys who are watching on from well, the third dimension, as we call it. Over to you, Emmanuel.
Good day, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're watching from. My name is Emmanuel Gentle, and I'm in Colorado Springs. I am in ministry here, and I'm on Facebook. So if you look up my name, Emmanuel Gentle, you'll find me. And I share verses from the Bible every day when I can. So that's all I do as far as ministry. But I love Gloria and Gary and this ministry, so I love to be part of it every weekend. Thank you,
Emmanuel. Emmanuel's ministry, I would endorse 100%. A mighty man of God with a great revelation of the balance of grace and faith. And that is something that really needs to be brought to the body of Christ. John, can you introduce yourself and tell people where you are and tell us about your ministry? Thank you, John.
Thank you, Gary. I'm John Tripp. I live in the state of North Carolina. I live in High Point. North Carolina is in the southeastern part of the U.S., the Appalachian Mountains to the west of us and the Atlantic Ocean to the east of us. And I teach in the local fellowship here and other places where I'm needed. And so it's just been a good ministry, and the Lord's really blessed. So thank you, Gary.
Yeah, thank you, John.
Can I just say something that John has been a guest minister with GFCD for several years, faithfully, almost every weekend, attending two Bible studies on Saturday morning and a Saturday evening in the US. And we are so grateful, John, that you,
thank you,
give your time. John's a man of few words, but listen carefully when he speaks, because his one-liners are usually always nuggets.
Amen.
Thank you.
That's exactly what I was going to say too. His one-liners are nuggets, gold. Okay, this is a Bible study, and we're doing a Bible study in the book of Hebrews. But firstly, I'd like Gloria to open with prayer and to lead us through communion.
Yes. For those of you who haven't got your elements, we do love to start off with a communion short message. So get yourself something that you can use to represent the body and blood of Jesus, whether it be bread, cracker, juice, wine, whatever you want, bring it and share with us. I've just started reading through a book again, something I read a couple of years ago, and it's called The Healing Power of Holy Communion by Joseph Prince. And I'm sure some of you out there may already have the book. And I was just inspired to start reading through it again to remind myself of how important taking communion is. Jesus said for us to remember him, to remember the sacrifice that he's made. But I wonder if many of you out there really truly realize the significance of the bread. Now, most people will know that the juice or the wine that represents the blood of Jesus was for the payment for, his blood was the payment for the sin of the world. And in Hebrews, we've been talking about the sacrifices that the priests in the Old Testament days used to have to make continually over and over and over, sacrificing animals in order to temporarily cover over the sin. It never really covered it at all. It was just to remind them of that sin that could not ever be taken away. But when Jesus came, his blood paid for the sin of mankind forever. One sacrifice forever for past, present, and future sin of ourselves personally, but it also took away that sin nature that occurred when Adam fell, and that's what we call the original sin. But we also take the bread, and some people might not really realize it. A lot of churches just lump it all together as one, and they combine the bread and the blood, and they talk about the redemption of the sin. But I want to talk today about the body of Jesus. When we take that bread, we were remembering the stripes that were laid on his back. He took the sicknesses, the diseases, the infirmities on his body. He paid for our healing, because when Adam sinned, man fell, sin and sickness, disease and death entered into our lives, into our bodies. And so the stripes on Jesus' back paid for our healing. Now, when God looks at us, he sees us healed. When God looks at us, he sees us sinless. So when we look at this bread and we look at this juice that represents the body and blood of Jesus, see yourself healed. See yourself set free from sin. Just take that in for a moment. Jesus has paid for it all. So thank you, Jesus. We come and we remember what you've done, the sacrifice that has paid for our healing, the sacrifice that has paid for the sin of the world. Let's eat and drink in remembrance of him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your body. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Precious Lord, we thank you that you are risen, that you are living, that you are alive. We thank you, Lord, that you overcame death, that you are victorious, and because of your victory, we are victorious in your name. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And thank you, Gloria, for leading us through communion. That was, what's the word? Quite profound, really. It impacted me. Okay, this is a Bible study, and we're in the book of Hebrews. Now, we're only a couple of chapters away from completing the book of Hebrews. So this morning, I'd just like to kind of give you my insight for what that's worth on Hebrews and where the author is taking us. And we might at this point out that the author is not, we don't absolutely know who it is, but the way he writes is very similar to the Apostle Paul. A lot of people say this was Paul, but there's no confirmation of that in the Word, and therefore we have to say that the author is unknown. However, what we do know is who his audience is. Is the name of the book tells you who his audience is. They were Hebrews. Now, these are Christians, right? They had converted from Judaism to Christianity. But I just want to show you what I've been seeing in Hebrews as we've working our way through it. We had a Bible study last night. By the way, we're in Australia. Gloria and I are in Australia on the East Coast, and it's early morning here. As you can see, I'm all rugged up, mm-hmm. Australian terminology, because it's cold. We're in winter. We're actually in autumn, approaching winter. So this these people who are converting from Judaism to Christianity, because they are a three-part being, we're all three parts. We are spirit, soul, and body. Now, their spirit, when they accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, was instantly made perfect. So they're born again in their spirit, but their soul, which encompasses their mind, their will, their emotions, all of those sorts of things, is being transformed. Now, it's a process. So I was studying for this. There's a major mindset transformation going on in the audience in the book of Hebrews. A major mindset transformation. That's why the author has to keep repeating over and over and over again that there was one sacrifice by Jesus for the sin of all mankind, for all sin, past sin, present sin, and future sin, past mankind, present mankind, and even future mankind, people who have not yet been born. So one sin did away with the sin of all of mankind. Now, it's okay to see this in Hebrews, but can we open in the book of Acts and just see the same thing in the book of Acts, where this major mindset transformation is beginning, first beginning. So I'm going to just go to the book of Acts. I'm just going to put it on the screen here, and I will... Actually, I am in Hebrews, so let me just go to Acts. Acts 11, verses 1. I want to read verses 1 to 3. So this is the book of Acts, verses 1 to 3. Now, the apostles and the brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God, right? So now the apostles were the 12, the disciples of Jesus. But now you've got way more disciples of Jesus because, and therefore those original 12 are now referred to as the apostles, to distinguish between the original 12 and those who are now followers of Christ, because we are all disciples of Jesus Christ. Now the apostles and the brethren, right, these are brothers in the Lord, whether they be male or female, who were in Judea. So we're talking about the ones who were in Judea. Basically, these were practicing Jews who had converted to Christianity. They heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. Oh my goodness, this is a total shift of mind or a mindset change, right? They're like having to deal with. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, because it was Peter who had taken this, the word of God, to the Gentiles, those of the circumcision, so you got to remember, those of the circumcision, what's that mean? These were Jews who had converted to Christianity. Those of the circumcision contended with him, saying, and this is not just, they didn't just say it gently, they're accusing him. You went into uncircumcised men and ate with them? Exclamation mark. My goodness, what are you doing? You got to read between the lines here. But Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning. So you can see there, I want to read Acts 11 verses 4 to 10, because you can see that these people here, let me just read it again so I can identify this group of people. Now the apostles And the brethren who were in Judea, so this is the brethren in Judea, heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision, I put it to you that these were the Judaizers, because he wouldn't have said those of the circumcision. He would have said the brethren, you know, the born again believers who used to be of the circumcision. No, they're still operating under the law, right? And then, of course, they accused him. You went unto the uncircumcised men and ate with them, because see, that was against the law. That was against the law of Moses. Now, verse 4 on, this is about Peter himself, because he was a Jew. He had converted to Christianity. But even for Peter, this is a major mindset transformation. And I just remind you that this is a Bible study of Hebrews, because that's what's going on in Hebrews. That's why the point is being made over and over and over again that there was one sacrifice for all sin for all time by Jesus. Whereas in the law of Moses, there were multiple sacrifices, at least two a day, for the sins of individuals. And annually, there was one sacrifice, firstly for the high priest. He sprinkled the blood in the holiest of holies. And he was only allowed to enter in there once. First of all, he sprinkled blood for himself, gave us an offering for himself, and then for the nation. Right. So there was this reminder of the fact that they were sinners. They were always sinners, because the blood of goats and bulls and all of that sort of thing can never do away with sin. It was only the blood of Jesus. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Under the old covenant, under the law of Moses, sin could never be taken away. It could only ever be covered over. And the fact that they were offering continual sacrifices was a continual reminder that they were sinners. We are not sinners saved by grace. We are not sinners saved by grace. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood offering of Jesus Christ, not because of his deity, but because he was that sinless Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. But getting back to Acts, let's read from verse 4 down to verse 10, because this is Peter's transformation, or major mindset transformation. But Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning, saying, "I was in a city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision and an object descending like great sheets let down from heaven by four corners. And it came to me, when I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals on the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth.'" See, that's the law. That's what Peter's having to deal with. He's coming from that mindset into a mindset of grace. "But the voice answered and said to me, 'What God has cleansed, you must not call common.' Now, this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven." I'm going to leave it at that, because I want you to see that there is this, over in Acts, you've got this beginning of Peter's transformation of this legalistic mindset, even though his spirit is perfect. You know, the word says that as Jesus is, so are we in this world.
Amen.
That's That's in our spirit. But we all, just like Peter, have this transformation. You know, in Romans, I think it's 12:2, it says, be ye transformed in by the renewing of your mind, right? So it's up here that gets renewed. It's up here that gets transformed. But right now I want to go back over to Hebrews. I'm going to get Gloria to read Hebrews
10:19.
Where are we starting?
Chapter 10, verse 19.
Okay. All right. Let me go there. I'll go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. And we'll read from verse 19 down to verse 25, please, Gloria. And then I'll go straight to Emmanuel and for your comments, Emmanuel. Okay, from verse 19.
Because it's got therefore as the first word, do you want me to read the sentence before that?
You better, or okay. Tom will go crook.
I know. Okay, so where from verse 18?
Go from 15, eh?
All right, okay.
Just to bring it into context.
Okay.
But and if the people look watching on from the third dimension, these Bible studies are in sequence. So if you want to have a look at the previous one that we're just building on from 12 hours ago, it's in our playlist on YouTube. And to find the YouTube, our YouTube channel, just go to YouTube and have a look, type in Grace Faith Christian Discipleship and look for these smiling faces, and that's it.
Okay.
You've got it. And then go to the playlist. There's about, I think, about 280 of these Bible studies in our playlist. Okay? Oh, nice. Over to you, Gloria.
But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant which I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Thanks, Gloria. Over to you, please, Emmanuel.
Interesting. Hello. Yeah, very interesting. We cannot say thank you enough to Jesus Christ, our high priest, for what he has done for us. Because if you put yourself in the shoes of the people who lived under the old covenant, then you see that they didn't have it as easy as we are having it now. Did you read, I think, verse 19 saying, your sins and iniquities will remember no more? That in itself alone, let me see what verse it was. Your sins and iniquities will remember no more. That was not a thing to be thought of, to be even imagined in the Old Testament, because your sins were before you all the time, and you always came. Even the high priest himself had to take the blood for his own personal sin before he even offered for the other people. So when we read scriptures like this, being in the New Testament on this, or in the New Covenant on this side of the cross, when I say this side of the cross, we who are here in Christ after his resurrection and receiving the Holy Spirit living in us, for instance. These things the old covenant people could never even imagine. Things like, I will be with you, like live in you. No, even great men like David and Moses did not have God living in them. He only came to visit and, you know, use them here and there, but he never lived in them. That living in us permanently became possible only in the new covenant after the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. So there are so many benefits for us as New Testament Christians that we have to take advantage of. We have a high priest who sits by the right-hand side of God himself and who is interceding for us all the time. The Old Testament people didn't have that. Their high priest was Aaron or somebody who lived in the neighborhood. And if you approach him, he first had to take care of his sins before he can even talk about yours. We have an eternal high priest who lives, who stays, lives and abides forever. Another thing is, your sacrifices were bulls and animals and goats and sheep and so forth. We have the Lamb of God himself who takes away the sins of the whole world as our sacrifice. And that sacrifice was also just one time, once and forever. And the effect also that it made us perfect forever, perfected forever, sanctified forever. That was a thing you couldn't think about. Even the high priest, Aaron himself, was not perfect forever. So as newborn, new covenant believers, we have to take advantage of these and compare it to the old covenant and see how loved we are. David prophesied about the time coming that in the, you know, in our time, he looked forward to being in a position like where we are now. But his eyes did not see it while he was here on earth. So Jesus said one thing that I want to end with. He said, of all people that are born of women, no one is greater than John the Baptist. But then he turns around and says, but the least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. If you look at that comparison very well. So from the time of creation to John the Baptist, you have Moses, Joshua, Jacob, Elijah, Enoch, all these great men of faith. None of them was as close as John the Baptist because he had the Holy Spirit in him. You know, John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. Now we, like you and I, we are greater than John the Baptist and therefore greater than all the other people in the Old Testament that you can think about. Great benefits that we have in the new covenant that we should take advantage of. Yes, I'll end here. Go ahead, Gary.
Yeah, thanks, Emmanuel. That was really good. Yeah. So it's a real tilt mindset to get your head around the fact that we in the new covenant are greater than John the Baptist. And if you look at why was John the Baptist greater than his predecessors, the other prophets, it was because of the revelation that he had. You know, he was the one that said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And what puts us in a better position is Christ in us, the hope of glory.
Hallelujah.
Right? So, you know, it's like tilt. You know, we have to get this same transformation of the mindset into what the Bible says about us. And it takes some doing. You've already got it complete in your spirit, but it's up here that has to be transformed. Okay, over to you, please, John.
Thank you, Gary. There'll be a test on what Emmanuel said on Thursday, by the way. but anyway, I just thought I'd be cute there for a minute. But anyway, thank you. What a great, I had never heard some of those. So thank you very much. I learned something tonight.
Thank you.
So
we all did, John.
All did. Wow. You know, it's interesting that we, where it says in verse 19, the holiest by the blood, that when that veil was, when Jesus was being ripped apart. That's when the veil was ripped from top to bottom. And the blood, what a great, I mean, if you want a definition of grace, could you get any different, anything better than what he did? No. I looked at that, and it says we have that high priest, the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was a priest and a king. What does the scripture say about us? We are a
royal priesthood.
We are a royal priesthood, part of a chosen people. In Revelation, it says we're kings and priests. Isn't that great? Isn't that neat? And I was looking at something else here. Down in 24, you know, it notices in 24, it says, let us consider one another to stir up love and good works. And we later on, and means a little bit later to, bonus. When we enter the bonus, that's confidence. What a confidence we've gotten for what he did. I meant to add that to that. I like confidence better than a little bit of boldness. Sometimes boldness to me gives it like an air of a arrogance to some degree. And but you notice I jumped down to 24, love becomes before good works. So I find that's an interesting thing. It doesn't say works now, it says good works. So and we're to provoke, as it talks about meeting together, stirring each other up, and to go out and it's not Jesus, as we've talked about before, it's not Jesus and our works, it's only Jesus, but he stirs us up to do the good works that we have. That's our mission in life. So whatever that is. Thank you, Gary.
Yeah, thanks, John. Wow, that was really good. It also says we are a peculiar people.
People, yeah.
And that's like, peculiar? What? It just means that we're set apart. We're his. And, right. You know, I'm thinking back, we're talking, this Bible study is to born-again Christians. Right, it's not to the unsaved. We know that there's always going to be a degree of unsaved people watching this this Bible study. And what do I mean by unsaved? People who haven't made Jesus Lord of their life. Even glorious communion. See, communion is not something that we share with the unsaved. It is something that believers come together. So when Gloria, if you listen to this communion and you think that this is universalism, it's not. You see, you have to receive Jesus to be a partaker of these precious gifts. You have to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior to partake of all the things that we're talking about. And we'll come to that in a little while before we finish this Bible study. Gloria, can I ask you, do we have time to go another round?
I think so.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Before we start this next round, and where are we starting? We're starting at verse 26, are we?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. At verse 26, we're coming into an area that I need to qualify this before we start reading this stuff, because for people who can't rightly divide the word of truth for themselves, this could be pretty scary. All right. When you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, let what we have been talking about, what Emmanuel, the big emphasis is that Emmanuel made in his, what he spoke about was that when we receive Jesus, we receive eternal redemption. Can you ponder that? We receive eternal redemption. Jesus said to us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We receive eternal redemption. So don't be fearful as we go into this next group of verses that we're going to study out. Before we commence the next segment, which is always the highlight of our Bible study, I'd like to pray over your giving today. This prayer comes from 2 Corinthians 9, verses 10 and 11. May God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God. I thank God for your giving. I thank God for those who on a regular basis are partnered with GFCD and give monthly. This allows us to keep all our various programs going. Thank you again. God bless you. Because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, right? Read 26 to 31, Gloria, please.
The heading there is "The Just Live by Faith." For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord, and again the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
Okay, thanks, Gloria. All right, I'm just going to follow up. I'm going to make the first comment here. The key word here is, for if we sin willfully. Now, I already said, and Emmanuel made the point that we receive eternal redemption, right? Now, I'm just going to keep it brief, but basically you can't, whoops, I slipped up, I've just lost my salvation. Impossible. You can't accidentally lose your salvation. You can't do it accidentally. To lose salvation, which is what we're talking about here, you have to willfully blaspheme the Holy Spirit. It has to be a willful choice, and there are qualifications on it. Other verses in the Bible says that you've got to have experienced all the gifts. You have to be a mature Christian. If you're a babe in Christ, you can't even do it, even if you wanted to do it willfully, because you haven't met the qualifications. You have to be very, very mature Christians. And you can't, it's like you have to renounce your salvation. Over to you, please, Emmanuel.
Yes, it's a very important subject, because those who think that every time you sin, you lose your salvation, they also think that all you have to do is tell the Lord you are sorry and then you gain it back again. So it's like you get born again, and then you sin, and then you lose your salvation, and then you repent, then you gain your salvation again. But if you look at Hebrews 6, verse 4, what Gary was quoting right now, it said, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, these are the qualifications Gary was talking about, and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. And it continues with the qualifications, but the last part says that if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. So you see, those who think that you can lose your salvation just like that, and you sin today, you lose it. If you don't confess it and you die, you go to hell. But if you confess it, you come back to the body of Christ. This verse right here is saying that it is impossible because it has to be somebody who is very matured and has received all these gifts, which means this is not somebody who is not sure of their salvation. It has to be a born again Christian who has even tasted some of these heavenly gifts, whether by laying on of hands and getting people healed and so forth. And that person has to willfully renounce their salvation. And if they renounce Jesus Christ that way, then it's a one-time deal. They cannot come back into another, you know, get born again. Yeah, because most of the people who, and these verses they use them to, and they go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, and says, if you sin, you just repent, and then you will be reconciled. But that was not talking about losing of your salvation. We can go into so many different things, but we don't have enough time for that. So the nutshell of what I'm saying is that we keep saying that it is a one-time giving your life to Jesus Christ, and you are saved one time. If these verses are confusing you, that's what Gary was talking about, that those who don't know how to rightfully divide the word of God, a verse like this will get them confused. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 will get them confused. But if you know how to rightly divide the word of truth, and you follow Bible studies like what we are doing here, you will find out that losing your salvation or blaspheming the Holy Spirit or giving up your salvation, that's the right terminology, is for only special people who have grown in the Lord. They are matured. If you are ignorant or a new believer, you cannot mistakenly lose your salvation and go, oops, I lost it. And then you go finding it and you find it again. That's not what this verse is talking about. It is very important for us to know that Jesus Christ says that of them that he has given to me, I shall lose nothing. And so the responsibility is even on Jesus to not lose any of us. Hallelujah. Jesus says of all of us who have been given unto him, he shall lose nothing, and he will present them all to the Father. So the confidence we were talking about, John was talking about, and the boldness and so forth. And I love the word confidence as opposed to boldness. The confidence is in Christ Jesus, whose responsibility is not to lose any one of us. Praise God.
Praise God. Thank you, Emmanuel. Very good.
Thanks, Emmanuel. I had myself on mute there. Oh, the old trick. You've got to do it for yourself when your wife's not here doing it for you. John, could you come in with comments there, please?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Gary. I was once part of a denomination, and they're still discussing this: once saved, always saved. And you've heard that. And they're still discussing it today. They literally do believe, even though it's mentioned here, if you are born again, you never lose your salvation, even though you may live a sinful life. And this is very plainful here. It says you can't willfully do that. Mm-hmm. End of story. I mean, that's the bottom line. You can take that to the bank, literally, you know. So, and they want to discuss, well, they weren't really saved. Well, the only one who knows where they're really saved is Jesus. You know, it's their heart of unbelief that makes that decision to go into being apostate, I think is what's later called. And so, Revolution. You know, you can't trounce underfoot, like it says, what Jesus, if you do that, that is the unpardonable sin, as Gary has mentioned there, when you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you know, because we won't go through all that, but we certainly know the importance of what the Holy Spirit has done for us. Thank you, Gary.
Amen. Yeah, thanks, John. That was really good. Well, thank you very much to both of our guest ministers, Emmanuel and John. Your input today has been outstanding. I think I said last week that the last week was the best Bible study we've ever had. Mm-hmm. Well, it's just been outdone today. I think today's and Gloria, sounds like Gloria's endorsing me. This is yes. Outstanding. Thank you very much. I hope you guys out there in the third dimension really appreciate the revelation from the Holy Spirit that has come through these two men on screen. I did mention, and I'm going to hand over to Gloria to do this, that we would talk to you in the third dimension about receiving salvation, about being partakers of those gifts. And we've got a teacher who in GFCD in our group who teaches on the exceeding precious promises, exceedingly great and precious promises.
Mm.
And the first of those promises Gloria is going to talk about right now. See, there is one of 7,000 promises, but this one you must receive first. Yes. Over to you, Gloria.
Yes. And that teacher, her name is Pastor Kathleen Wall, and she has a series called His Exceeding Great and Precious Promises. And that number one promise that we have is the promise of salvation through Jesus Christ. Now, you might have been watching part or all of this Bible study and wondering, am I saved? Am I born again? Have I sinned? And, am I saved? Or maybe you've never made that decision. Maybe you have never asked Jesus to come into your heart. Well, this is your opportunity. And sometimes people have to hear it over and over. That's why we do it every week, because sometimes people don't make that decision straight away. But this is your opportunity now. You can replay the video if you want to and say the prayer with me, or you can do it along with me right now. But it is so important to take that first step, because all of the promises are available to you after you take the first step. Amen. And that is to receive Jesus Christ in your heart, in your life, in your whole being. So right now I invite you to make that decision. All you have to do is just to believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for you and that he rose again and he's living and alive today. The other thing you have to do is you have to confess that out of your mouth. You've got to audibly say it so that you can hear it even if no one else does. And that is in accordance with the Bible in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. So you can go Google that if you like, and it will come up. So you can say right now with me, Father God, I thank you for sending your son Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross for me. I thank you that your blood was shed to pay for the price of my sin. I thank you that I believe that you rose again. And I invite you now, Jesus, to come into my heart, to be a part of my life, to take over my life. I surrender my will to you, and I want to live for you from this day forward. Thank you, Jesus. I pray this in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
So if you have said that, please send us an email. Let us know so we can put you in touch with somebody that might be closer to you. Our email address is gfcd.sozo, that's S-O-Z-O, at gmail.com. So write to us, let us know you've made that decision. Maybe you already have made that decision and you might know somebody who really needs to hear this message. So share it. Share these Bible studies. Share our Facebook page with other people. Share our YouTube channel. Let people know that this Bible study is out there. It's free. You don't have to pay to be a part of this Bible study. So let's get the good news out there for everybody to hear.
Thank you, Gloria. Thank you. John, could I ask you to close this Bible study with prayer, please?
Yeah, thank you, Gary. Father, we just want to give you all the praise and glory and honor you deserve. We're so thankful for what you did for us on the cross. And Lord, we want you to just bless all these families that are listening, the believers, non-believers. And Lord, again, I can't say thank you so much. Just keep saying thank you and thank you. Mm-hmm. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to share your word mm-hmm. with these people. Thank you for Gary. And Gloria, thank you. And for Emmanuel, thank you for their ministries that they have to the people of the world. We just want to give you all the praise and honor. Glory again. And these things we ask in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, John. And I'll say goodbye to all of you folks who are watching from the dimension. Just remember where you're watching us, and we'll see you this time next week. God loves you, and we love you too. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.